that's really how it should be. To have a childlike faith and a childlike love for Christ, where you don't worry about what other people think. And that's how it should be for us. It shouldn't be that we have to sit here thinking that it's not okay to move, and that it's not okay to smile, and that it's not okay to sing, because that's what it's all about. And that just blessed my heart. And I don't know if you was able to hear McKenna singing, but she was singing along with the choir. And that's what it should be for us. That should be our desire, because we are here to say it, worship. And I guarantee you right now, if we took this group of saying people here and we went to a Carolina or a Clemson football game, I promise you, you wouldn't sit like this, watching those Gamecocks run in, hearing the sound of 2001. I promise you, you wouldn't sit like this, hearing that cannon, and then those mighty Tigers roar down that hill. I guarantee you wouldn't sit like this. You wouldn't. Now, don't get me wrong. I love football. I love sports. But we're supposed to love someone a whole lot more than we love our sports. And we should be able to sing when we want to sing praises unto God. It's not disrespectful. It's out of a pure heart. That's what that is. That is a pure heart. Singing praises unto God. And that's what we should do. That should be our desire. It shouldn't be that it's when you're going down the road in your car. It shouldn't be that when you're all alone that you sing praises to God. You should be willing to do this anytime the Holy Spirit moves within your heart, when you're at church, when you're during corporate worship. And I promise you, if you come to New Hope tonight, their praise band's going to lead, I believe, the first portion of the service. And if you come with an open heart and you come with an open mind, ready to serve God, I promise you, you're going to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. And if you stay at home tonight, I know I'm going to step on toes right now, and I haven't stepped on probably many toes since I've been here. But if you stay at home tonight and choose not to come and worship through song, you're going to miss a blessing. I promise you, you're going to miss a blessing. Because can you think of a better example of what heaven's really going to be like when we're just to take two churches to come together and sing tonight? Just think about what heaven's going to be like. It's going to be all churches. It's going to be all races singing praises unto God. Singing, here we are to worship. Here we are to bow down and to say that you are my God. That's what we're going to do. So I do encourage you. I know that may have sounded like I was getting on you, but I really do encourage you to come tonight and worship through song. God gave us song for a very important reason, and that is to adore Him, to worship Him, to give Him what He rightfully deserves. Today we're going to look at John chapter 10, verses 10 through 14, speaking of I am the shepherd. Now, I know a month or so ago, I started with I am the vine, which is the last saying of the I am statements. And so then I decided, God allowed me to see that, hey, let's speak on all of these I am statements till we meet all seven. So we've talked about the vine. We've talked about the bread of life. We talked about the light of the world. And then last week, we spoke on the importance of going to that door. Well, today we're talking about the shepherd. And if you recall last week, when we talked about the door, we talked about the one who can take us to the door, like it's our responsibility to lead others to the door, but we also know that Jesus Christ is the door, and then the way that we can be led through the door is by the good shepherd. So the door and the shepherd go hand in hand. Those two I ams go hand in hand together. And so I just want to give you a few statistics about sheep, some that you may have already known, some that you may not have known. A few of these that I'm going to share I did not know of. Especially one. But did you know that most sheep are very defenseless? They're prone to wander. They have poor eyesight. And they tend to follow other sheep around without thinking. So that means there's no thinking going on. They're just going with the crowd. And guess what else sheep are? Very, very stubborn. Now, I'm describing sheep here. But I guarantee you that all of those things that I just read to you, you can apply to your own very life. So it's not ironic. It's not a coincidence that Jesus chose the parable of calling us sheep. that Jesus chose a parable of saying that he is the shepherd. There's no coincidence there. Jesus is the shepherd. We are his sheep because we're defenseless. We're prone to wander. Now, when we say poor eyesight, I don't mean because one who has to put on glasses, does that mean that you have poor eyesight? I'm speaking of poor eyesight because you don't know what to look upon. Your eyesight is blinded by the ways of the world. That's what it's speaking of, spiritual blind sight, or spiritual blindness is what this is talking about. It's not talking about 20/20. And then we know here, this is a perfect example. Sheep tend to follow other sheep without thinking. Now you think about that for you teenagers that are here today who are kind of wanting to maybe go with the crowd. You may want to go with the crowd without thinking. You're living for the moment. We don't always think about the consequences. And we've all been there. I was a teenager once, and everybody else who has surpassed that teenage years, we've all been there. We've all done that. That's why it's so important that you don't need to be one of those. Learn from your parents' mistakes. Learn from your grandparents' mistakes. And know that you don't have to be like one of these sheep wandering around and following others without thinking. Kenny and I did a little chore together this past Friday, and we were moving an object that needed to be put into a house. And I grabbed it and was backing in and leading. And Kenny said, "Oh, that's fine if you want to go up." And I told him, my words were, "I'd rather lead him than follow him." Not that I didn't trust Kenny, but then, of course, Kenny made another point. He said, "That's right, because if something happens or it gets too heavy, you can just drop it and hang me out to dry," is basically what he said. But my point is simply this. It's better to lead. Now, if you're being a leader, you must be a positive leader. You can't be the leader who's wanting to lead people astray, which we're going to speak about. We want to be a positive leader. We want to make sure that we're leading people in the right direction, that we're keeping the sheep, we're keeping one another from being prone to wander. But then that last one was, it says, sheep are stubborn. And I've always been told that donkeys were extremely stubborn, but sheep are very stubborn. And I know no one sitting here today has ever been stubborn about anything in life. But these are characteristics of sheep. They're also the very same characteristics of who we are. Now, this could be you as a believer. This could also be you as a non-believer. But I would hope that as a believer, these things here, you'd be able to then check off your list of realizing that you're no longer defenseless because you have God. You're no longer needing to wander, looking for things to meet your needs because you have God. Your eyesight should be much better. Your spiritual eyesight should be much better because you have God. You should not want to follow other sheep. You want to be that leader because of the direction, the guidance of God, the Holy Spirit. And then don't be stubborn. Now, I'll be honest with you. Like I've said from the very first time I had the opportunity to be with you all, I want to be very transparent with you all. And some of you may have been able to pick up on that in conversation that we've had. But I'm stubborn. I'm stubborn. I can't believe I didn't get an amen from somebody over there. But I'm stubborn. I am. I try not to be, but it's hard. Because, you know, we don't want to ever openly admit, especially as a man, the leader of the house, that we're wrong or that something we did was not correct. But I'm stubborn. And so I hope that this is something I will be able to work on as I continue along life's journey. But remember that sheep are very defenseless. They're basically helpless animals. I read in a devotion that stated that there have been known cases where sheep have fallen on their backs and they die because they do not know. They're not intelligent enough to know how to get their body weight shifted so they can get upright and to survive. So that's the importance of the shepherd. You think about how many times in your life that you have been lying flat on your back with your feet in the air, not knowing where to go, not knowing what to do, needing help, not intelligent enough, I'm using that word, not intelligent enough to seek help. Because you want to do it on your own. And so you just lay there and you lay there kicking and screaming and you can't do it on your own. You're not going to do it on your own. Realize that you need a shepherd. And there's only one shepherd. He said, "I am the good shepherd." Your father, your mother, your grandparents, they're not your shepherds. Your husband, your wife, they're not your shepherds. Your boss is not your shepherd. Counselors are not your... There's no one else that can be your shepherd. Sure, God can put people in your lives to guide you and to assist you. But you're only going to find true help from one person. That is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I am the good shepherd. So now I would like for us to look at our first few verses today. We're going to focus on verses 10 through 14, but there's going to be references from verses 1 through 16. So if you have your Bible there with you, just follow along as I read verses 10 through 14 in John chapter 10. It says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come," this is Jesus saying, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own." How important is it for us to recognize the significance of these verses and how Jesus always puts himself in a great position to be the great teacher in which he was and the great teacher in which he still is through the guidance and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so he uses this parable, as we know many times, parable after parable does Jesus use to be that great teacher. You know, a lot of times people don't want to realize or may not realize, but Jesus was a teacher. He was referred to as a teacher, a rabbi, master. God the Son, but he was referred to as a teacher. And that's what's important for us, because he was sent to lead, guide, and direct us, but he was also sent to teach us, to give as many teachable moments as possible. So here we see Jesus is comparing himself to a shepherd, and we know that he literally was not tending to sheep, but he was tending to the flock. He was tending to those people who were sitting around him. So if you would, look at verse 1 of this very same chapter. Jesus says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door..." Now remember, he's speaking of himself as the door. We're not thinking of a literal door here or gate. It says, "But climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." Here's what he's speaking of, is the devil. Satan himself. He's coming to seek and to destroy anyone and everyone that he can get his hands on. If there's anything that he can do, remember that chink that's in your armor. If he finds it, he's going to use it. And he'll exploit it. And he'll continue to do so until you recognize where that situational problem has arise. And you need to deal with it. You need to face it. Face it head on. But you face it with God as your leader, as your defender. So it's very important that we are able as Christians to recognize the voice of Jesus, because this is what he makes mention here. He says, "Those sheep hear the shepherd's voice and they respond to that particular voice." If I was not the shepherd and I was in there trying to guide those sheep and I was speaking to them and they were not recognizing my voice, they would not adhere to the command. So if you cannot recognize the voice of Jesus Christ, how will you respond to his command? How will you be able to respond to what it is that he needs you to do if you do not know and if you do not recognize the voice of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd? So in order to be able to recognize that shepherd's voice, you must be a part of his what? His flock. And there's only one way to be a part of his flock. And that is to understand and know that you need a Savior. If you want to join that flock, the greatest flock of them all, you must admit that you're in need of a Savior and that you're willing to be led by the Good Shepherd. Sure, you can lead yourself along life's path. Sure, you can do it. And you may be successful at it. But one day, that path's going to have to come to an end. And at the end of that path, at the end of life's journey, if you didn't make that decision to join the flock and allow Jesus to be your shepherd, that good life that you knew will be gone in the blink of an eye. And you'll have nothing to show for it but pain and anguish and sorrow and agony for life eternal. So that's why we have to stress the importance through love that we all are in need of the good shepherd. John 5, 46 and 47 says, this is Jesus speaking, says, "For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? And so here Jesus is saying, you know, you wouldn't even believe Moses who talked about me. And here I am standing right in front of him, and you still won't even believe my words because you were not able to recognize the truths behind what Moses was teaching. And so we have to understand that Jesus has a point in all that he does. There's a purpose for all that he does. And if you look now at verses 3 and 5, we can see the importance of why he was stressing who a thief and robber is, and what it means to be a sheep, and what it means to be a shepherd. Verse 3 through 5 says, "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings them out of his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." That's what's important. If you don't recognize a voice, you flee from it. That voice can be a sin. So if you are seeing a sin that has reared its ugly head and you know now, oh, that's not really the right thing for me to do, you flee from it. You turn away from it immediately. You should not be able to recognize these desires of the world. You need to recognize the desires for what Christ has placed within your heart. And if you recognize that voice, you can be led by that voice. But as the sheep do not recognize that stranger's voice, they flee. You must flee. If you don't recognize it, you flee. You know, that's something we teach our younger children. You know, if they see an individual they don't know in a strange environment or in a different environment, we teach them to be conscientious of their environment, their surroundings, and we teach them to stray away from those types of ordeals, those types of strangers, because let's admit it, we can't have eyes on our children or our grandchildren at all times. And so we teach them this. We teach them the importance of recognizing a stranger. And so when we see a stranger, we see something that's presented itself in a very enticing way, but yet in our conscience, in our heart, led by the Spirit of God, we recognize that we don't need to be enticed by that pleasure. We should be seeking Jesus for our pleasures of this world, for he will give us all we ever need. So we have to be able to recognize his voice. But more important, when you recognize his voice, let his voice not be a strange sounding voice to you, rather. His voice needs to be something that you can really recall and know and recognize. But when you hear his voice, what do you do about it? You need to answer. Seek his small, still voice and understand and listen to what it is that he wants you to do. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. And if we recognize his voice, he can lead us into great and wonderful ways. And so when you trust in God's word, when you place him at the center of your will, he will give you the voice of recognition that will show you the path of righteousness. Last week, as I said, we discussed the door, Jesus being the door, Jesus being the gate. And we read from verse 7 where it says, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." And so when Jesus used the word "verily, verily" here, he is saying this with great certainty. He is saying this with great confidence, speaking to the people that "verily, I say unto you that there is no other way that you can get into heaven but by entering through me. For I am the door of life eternal." So he's letting them know that you must follow my statutes and commands. In Psalm 118, verse 20, it says, "This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter." That gate is Jesus Christ, and only the righteous will enter. And remember, you have only become righteous because of God's sovereign and saving grace. That is what makes us righteous. But you're promised to be able to enter the gate of the Lord if you believe upon his word and call upon his word. Jesus is the only way in which we can become a part of his family. He is the only way. Now, if you would look at verse 8 and 9 of this very same chapter, John chapter 10. Verse 8 reads, "All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture." You may recall that we briefly talked about that verse last week, entering into that pasture. And that's what Jesus wants for everyone who sits here today, is to enter into his pasture. In verse 8 here, though, Jesus is stating that before him were pretenders, and they promised followers freedom. But instead, they led these followers into conflict. They led these followers into doom. And Jesus is one thing about Jesus, there is no confusion with him. And he does not want us to be confused. And Jesus is the only door. He's the only way that man can enter everlasting life of hope and of pure satisfaction. And he wants his sheep. He wants all sheep to enter into his sheepfold. He takes great pride in his flock, in his sheepfold, and he wants you to be a part of his provisions. Sure that you can provide for your families here. Sure that you give them so many things that they need and some things they just want. But to receive the ultimate care package, the ultimate provisions, is to surrender your heart and soul to God and to allow him to lead you in all areas of life. Isaiah 49, 9 and 10 says, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for he that hath mercy on them shall lead them. Even by the springs of water shall he guide them. So what promise is being made at the very end of this verse? Even by the springs of water he shall guide. So that lets us know that, remember, we speak of that living water. We are promised to be able to drink of that living water and never thirst again. It states it in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ stated it when he began his ministry. We've been told time and time again that if you call upon the name of God and you drink of his water, you will never thirst again. And so I ask you today, have you experienced God's mercy, and have you personally been led to the springs of water? And this is a water that you really can drink from every single day. And then this is how you do it: by seeking God's will for your life, by placing your mind, thought, and heart into his word, and by praying each and every day, and by coming and worshiping with fellow believers each opportunity that presents itself. These doors are open on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. And the opportunities are there. That's three times a week that the opportunity is there for you to come and to be a part of the sheepfold and have that great corporate worshiping experience with like-minded believers. Because we're not promised another opportunity. We're not promised another breath. And so we don't want to miss out. Any opportunity that you have to come and to sing praises unto God and to experience his goodness with like-minded believers, we should never pass that opportunity up. Because one day this life is going to pass us all by. Moving on to verses 10 and 11. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And so here we see Jesus' promise of abundant life, and it begins as soon as you adhere to his voice. As soon as you adhere to his calling, your life of abundance begins instantaneously. Immediate blessings will fall upon you. Jesus calls his followers not to a lifeless, miserable existence. And that's something that's very important too. You think about your life pre-Christ and post. And there should be a great difference. But if you sit here today and you haven't fully drank from that well, if you haven't eaten from that bread of life, or if you have not understood who the light of the world is, or who the door, or who the shepherd is, let it be today that you understand and can enjoy that this miserable life that you live can be squashed, it can be taken away, it can be eradicated, because Jesus wants to bring rich, full, and joy to all people's life, so that your life is overflowing with great meaning, and that your personal favor and blessing will be bestowed upon you by God. And what's even more important, that you can have a continual fellowship with God. And then not only that, but when you begin to fellowship with God, it's going to change the way you fellowship with other believers. It's going to change your life altogether. So I ask you this question: is that why you're here today? Are you here for that very reason, for the continual fellowship with Christ and the continual fellowship with like-minded believers? Or did you decide to attend church this morning because it was kind of the right thing to do, and this is kind of like what we do in the South? Or did you come just so you could be seen today? Maybe you got a new outfit or something and you wanted people to see you. Maybe that's the reason why you chose to come today. Or did you truly come with an open heart and open mind to give God his praise that is due to him? And remember, I always say this to y'all. I speak to myself as well, just because Y'all have allowed me to be the shepherd of this church. Does not mean that these things of life does not affect me. And I'll be honest with you. Yesterday, I wasn't feeling good. I didn't want to go and read the Bible. I didn't really want to prepare for today. I don't know why. That's life. Things happen. Things begin to get in our mind and in our heart. And we know it's the work of Satan himself. And so if you don't give God what is due to him, you can miss a blessing. And so I'm not going to use the word that I had to force myself to go and sit down and continue to prepare for today. But in a sense, I did. But I'll tell you, when I realize time and time again how good God is, and I know I've already said this several times today, but when you hear little blessings like we heard this morning, those are those beautiful reminders from God why we do what we do. Why we allow God to use us to be teachers in Sunday school, teachers on Sunday night, teachers and leaders on Wednesday night for these children. For these young children are the generation, the next generation of this church. So if we don't teach our young ones the right ways of the world and of the church, rather, if we don't teach our children the right ways of the importance of being on at church when the doors are open, what's going to happen when each generation begins to pass us by? What are we going to do? We have got to lead people to Christ. We've got to lead people to understand and know who the good shepherd is and why he is called good and why he is called the shepherd. We should always take every opportunity that is given us to sing praises to God and to give him what is due to him and to tell him that we're just so thankful and that we're so blessed to be a part of the kingdom of God. And each time that we wake up each morning, we have life. Now, let's take into consideration, if you are a born-again believer in Christ, and if you don't draw your next breath here on earth, you're in heaven, you're in glory with Christ, and we know that is the goal for us. But while you're here, you should give thanks to God that he allows you to be here because he still has work for you to do. And I stress the importance of the nominating committee maybe coming around to you in the next couple of days, or maybe they've already come to you and you're weighing the pros and cons of, do I really want this responsibility for God, or do I not want this responsibility for God? Because remember, you're serving God's people, but you're serving God. And if somebody has come to you and asked you to work, it's not for them. It is for God. It is to bring more honor and glory at his church. That's what's so important about these numbers. You know, we kind of blow these things off sometimes because we know that those same old people, they're going to take care of what needs to be taken care of. 9 times out of 10, that's probably true. But I guarantee there's people sitting here today with talents that we don't even know about because they're not willing to let God use them. And so I encourage you to let God use your talents to bring honor and glory to his name. And so we're going to move on now to the last three verses of today's reading. John 10, 14, 15, and 16. And of these verses, they show great significance of God's plan, the Heavenly Father's perfect plan. Verse 14 reads, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, verse 16 is important. If that one verse was omitted from here, we who sit here today would be in a little trouble. Because he's speaking of all people, not just his Jews, not the Jewish people, not the Jewish flock, the Gentile flock as well. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And he said that he knows his own and his own knows him. And he followed this up in verse 15 by saying he would lay down his life for his sheep. Now that's also very important for us to reflect upon because Jesus openly admits that no matter how bad you are, no matter how much sin you commit and how bad of a person you really are deep down inside, he's willing to lay, or he laid his life down for you. He laid the good shepherd laid his life down for his sheep. We know that even if one was to be astray, he would lay his life down, do whatever it takes to go and bring that one sheep back to his flock. And then that final verse of verse 16, Jesus is simply saying that there are other sheep that he has, but they are not of his fold. And so this is what he speaks of. He's speaking of the Jewish flock, the Gentile flock, how they're all going to be one day blended together in one messianic community. And that's what heaven's going to be like. And so that he's telling them one day, all the folds are going to come together. And so this gives us great proof. Once again, not that we truly need any more proof, but that Jesus was sent to seek and save all who were lost. That God sent his only begotten son to save all mankind. Not just as Jews. Not just the Gentiles. But for all who are willing to call upon the name of the Lord. So in closing, I would like for you to turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Verses 18, 19, and 20. Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20. This comes at the end of the Great Commission. It says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Now in this verse, or in these three verses rather, there are five very important statements, five directives that we can take from these verses that we should be very mindful of. And I will read them slowly if you'd like to write them down. But if you would like for me to give you these later on, feel free to let me know and I'll be happy to do so. First directive is simply this, what you should have taken from these verses. He is teaching us to observe all things. He is teaching us to observe all things. Secondly, he will be with us always, even until the end of the world. Number three is very important as well. We must be ready. Are you ready? Are you ready to observe all things? Are you ready to understand and know that Jesus will be with you until the ends of the world? So three is be ready. Four, we must be receptive of his word. And then number five, we must be able to recognize our Savior's voice. If he's calling to you today, do you recognize it? If he's whispering something into your heart, do you recognize it as the voice of Jesus? The thief and the robber are ready to come in and he's ready to steal your joy. That's what Satan wants to do. He doesn't want to see you here on Sunday morning. He doesn't want to see you here on Sunday night. He doesn't want to see you here on Wednesday. He doesn't want you praying. He doesn't want you reading God's Bible. He doesn't want you doing any of those things. And so when we do those things by not coming to church when we need to be here and by not reading God's word when we need to be and by not praying like we should, whose work are we doing? Satan's. We're doing his dirty work. We are not doing the work of the Father. So I encourage you not to listen to the thief's voice, the robber's voice, that wolf who's coming in to scatter those sheep. I encourage you to listen to the ever-loving, everlasting voice of Jesus Christ. Don't run to the voice of Satan. He will tempt you with luxuries. He will offer you all these wonderful things that life can afford. But it's temporary. Flee from Satan. Cling on to the words of Jesus Christ, for he is our master. He is our Lord and Savior. It is through him that we can have life eternal, for he is the good shepherd. Jesus Christ has given his all for you and for me. And I ask you today, what have you in recent times given to him? Remember, Jesus came so that all could have life everlasting and so that all could have life more abundantly. If you feel that you are struggling through life and you're just kind of meandering your way through life and you feel that you need a good leader, I'm not the good leader. You all appointed me to be the leader of this church, but there's only one good leader. There's only one good shepherd, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I implore you to allow him to lead you everywhere you go. For our young children who are beginning soon to go back to school and they're around this world that's not of Jesus. For our middle school kids who are going off of that adolescent age when their minds are beginning to take on more and they're beginning to develop more and more of the world And then our high schoolers and our college students, we have to pray for these groups of people. We have to wrap our loving arms around them when they're here at church, and when they're not here with us at church, we must pray for them. For they're the leaders of this country. It's for them who will be able to teach this lost and dying world about Christ when our time on earth ends. We must teach this world about the Good Shepherd. And I just encourage each and every one who sits here today to take that as a reward. That you have been chosen to be a child of the King, that God can use you in a mighty and powerful way. And He wants to use you so that you can lead this lost and dying world to Christ. Take them to the door and allow the Shepherd to do the rest. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for this day. God, I thank You for life in itself. Father, I thank You for every individual who sits here today. Lord, I pray that Your hand will continue to be upon them and all that they do. But God, I pray that all that they do will be centered around You. Father, we love You and we praise You. And I pray now that as we leave from Your church, God, I pray that every individual here today can say with an open heart and an open mind that it was truly good to be in the house of the Lord. Father, we do love You and we humbly praise You. Amen.